What's happening, everyone? Welcome to the fourth episode of the Secure D podcast. Today, my guest is Hans DC, one of the very first employees of Sneaker Freaker magazine. He's been there since magazine edition one. He's also a long-time sneaker collector, has a cool collection of OG and rare, hard-to-find sneakers that you don't see people wearing these days, so always fun to talk to guys like this that have been in the scene for longer than me. He's also a huge Star Wars fan, toy collector. So I think people in Melbourne and Australia are really going to enjoy this episode, but there's also tons of content in there for people outside of our local sneaker community. We talk about things like the very first Sneaker Freaker magazine launch, the first swap meet, and then just some cool sneaker stories and sneaker pickup stories that we have over the years. Like always, if you guys have any topic suggestions, please hit me up with the hashtag SecureDPodcast on Twitter or just at SecureD, and if we use them in a future episode, we'll give you a shout out. So until then, I hope you enjoy this episode, and peace. What's happening, man?
How you going?
Chilling.
Cool. Thanks for making it all the way out here.
Yeah, it was a bit of a drive from Sneaker Freaker.
Especially Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, traffic was a killer, actually. It took me longer to get onto Punt than it did to get all the way from Punt to here.
Yeah, it's just where I live, you know, it's pretty much on the corner of everything.
Yeah.
So the quickest way to get around is bicycle, really.
Yeah, yeah. Although it's funny because I think we would have met originally fucking a kilometer from here originally, probably down on Greville Street somewhere, and you really haven't migrated all that far. Yeah, Provider.
No, I've lived in the area for quite a while. Always been east side, south side.
Yeah.
Well, as long as I've been here anyway.
Yeah, rad. All right, well, I just wanted to jump in. We'll knock over a few topics. One thing that everyone's been hitting me up about on Twitter this week is the Yeezys and what I thought about them. And I thought I'd just sort of hold off until we got a chance to record it so I didn't have to write an essay. I think they look pretty hideous, to be honest. I didn't want to jump on. So the hate, I noticed there's been a transition in what people think about them online. Everyone hated them. And now, all of a sudden, the hype beasts are taking over and they're starting to get a bit of momentum, which I find interesting.
I think the Yeezy started off as a hype shoe. Well, it is a hype shoe, right? It's not. It's a derived from everything but nothing. And it's become this name. I don't even think it's the shoe. I just think it's the name, really.
Yeah.
And I know for us, when the first Yeezys came out, we weren't too excited about the way it looked. But because it was Yeezy, it was had something to do with Kanye West. You know, we jumped on it and we made our money and we did our things. You know, we weren't the sort of crew that would necessarily rock it. And that went by, and then the second one came out, and then the hype just hasn't died. And it's amazing to see it migrate from from one brand to another. You know, now it's with Adidas. You know, I don't know. It just hasn't looked like anything's any different.
Yeah.
You know, you might say it's worse. I don't think it's any worse. I don't think it's any better. I just think, you know, Adidas has taken Nike's sex toy and is having a play.
It really is, though, because, I look at it, and to me, you know, working with shoes for so long, to me, it looks like a pullover that hasn't been finished, like a shoe that hasn't been lasted. And
I think the shoe goes well in certain fashion circles, you know, in certain sort of styles. And if you dress accordingly, I think the shoe would suit, you know, one or two things. I don't think it's a total loss.
Yeah.
But I think for the money that, you know, people are going to pay for it, you know.
$1,100 already?
It's $350 retail, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and yeah, so it's a $1,000 shoe or $2,000 shoe, you know, and not a lot of people are going to be able to jump on it and wear it. And I think a lot of people are going to buy it and sit on it.
I reckon you're right. Yeah.
To try and make some money off it.
Well, I think they're making 9,000 pairs to start with is what the initial word was I saw. And one thing that they've said all along is that you're not going to have trouble getting them, which I don't know if they're going to, which is true. Cause I mean, they sold 500,000 pairs of Legend Blue Jordan 11s. So I mean, whether they're going to release that many eventually, but you're right. They're already going for over $1,000 on eBay. I see it and it's not something I could personally rock. I don't think I could pull that shit off. I don't wear 3/4 cut off pants or tight enough jeans to pull that off.
I think it goes with that whole low crotch, you know,
the extra tall t-shirt
or extra tall singlet, you know, with the man bun and beard type.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not about that life. I'll stick out of that. And the other thing I wanted to give you a bit of a hard time about as well, in the intro, I gave you a bit of a pump up about Star Wars, and I just wanted to chat to you about the Star Wars shoes recently. I think the Vans made my top five worst shoes of last year in one of the previous podcasts. Do you actually have any? Do you actually have
no,
any Star
I don't,
Wars shoes?
I don't. Out of all the novelty crossover, you know, band or artist or movie, I don't really have anything Star Wars. I think because, like you said, they haven't really made anything that's worth.
I agree.
Keeping, you know, I've got a lot of corny, tacky toys and novelty toys as such, but as far as sneakers are concerned, I wouldn't wear them.
No. The only ones I liked were the blister packed Addies from about 4 or 5 years ago.
And that was the saving grace of the shoe. I mean, the shoes weren't that even great. It's just because it came in a blister pack, it looked legit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Because, like, I bought all the bait Marvel things for the same reason. I was like, those shoes are ugly legit as hell, but the packaging's rad.
I'm not really into cutesy stuff, you know, when people make things into bobbleheads. I don't like bobbleheads, you know.
Yeah.
I don't like things that are serious and supposed to be tough looking made into a cute thing.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, Star Wars Lego, it's something totally different.
Yeah. So you got boxes of it.
I have boxes of stuff.
Lego's taken on a whole nother world of its own, man. Like I only just started recently buying some Lego stuff, and that is an expensive habit. Like that isn't. It's got to be on par with like the weight of gold, like the plastic weight per like pound or something.
It's
like
the only plastic toy that lasts forever.
Yeah. True.
I've always had Lego, and when I started working, earning money and buying toys, started to get into buying Lego, and then I stopped myself and I thought, you have to streamline. You have to pick one thing, because at the rate things are coming out, you can't buy everything.
Yeah.
So pick one thing, whether it be Spider-Man or Batman or whatever, and stick to it and try and go just that path. And so far, so good, you know?
Yeah.
I've got one or two things. Like I've got the big soccer sets.
Oh, basketball. Do you have all the NBA sets?
I've got NBA sets. And things like that, but I don't really have, you know, one of, say, Ghostbusters and one of that, you know.
I bought the Ecto one. I did buy Ecto one. Well, I couldn't turn that down.
Yeah,
like
a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've pretty much stuck to Star Wars, and I'm quite happy with that.
I started buying the minifigures too, and then I started getting sucked in because I have like you, I have a bit of an obsessive compulsive personality, and like
that's
I was
the Bear Brick disease.
Yeah, well, it's exactly what that's it was because I have like all the Dunnies and Bear Bricks, and I'm sitting there like an idiot, feeling the packages to try and like figure out which one's which, and I'm like, nah, I gotta stop doing this. So I had to can those. But I guess what I wanted to mainly just chat about today was just some like old school shit, like that people who had been around for as long as us in Melbourne would enjoy, because I mean, obviously a lot of kids now have probably only been collecting shoes for a couple of years. And I've been buying shoes in Melbourne like pretty seriously since like 98, 99. And you would be way ahead of that.
I wouldn't say way ahead. I've always, again, you know, like Lego, always had an interest in sneakers. Never really had the capacity to go out and buy, especially back in the early 90s. There was no sneaker shops. There was your Foot Lockers and things like that, but still at a very small scale. And
definitely,
because growing up in Malaysia, there wasn't a lot of choice. You know, I remember having to go to Singapore, taking a 10-hour train ride overnight to go to Singapore to go and buy a pair of Nike pumps, you know.
Serious?
Yeah, I remember.
What, like the Air Command Force, the original ones?
There were the Switch Pump Command Force.
Oh,
it was the Air,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
called it's called the Air Force 180 High with the Switch Pump.
I know what that is.
I remember that shoe. And
it
cost a lot. It cost a lot of money. That was all Chinese New Year money.
Yeah,
and we spent all on one pair of shoes. And then we came
and you
back,
caught 20 hours worth of trains to cop
pretty
them.
Much.
Yeah,
you know. But I think only because I liked that shoe. I don't think, but at that point I was crazy into sneaker collecting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We watched the Bones Brigade's videos, and we all went out and bought Jordan 1s and skating them and things like that.
Yeah.
And we didn't know any better, you know. We just thought this was cooler than any skate shoe out there.
Isn't that funny, you know? Too? Because like back then as well, like for people like us, there wasn't the internet to buy shoes. Like
exactly.
You had to catch the train. You had to drive 2 hours. You had to whatever to go and find it. You couldn't just jump on eBay or Flight Club like people do now.
I think I only really started getting into sneakers, to buy and collecting or be aware about the whole collecting thing was when I came to Australia, and you know, I could go into a Foot Locker and go into the wall every week, and there'd be five new Air Force Ones in different colors, you know, a couple of Air Maxes and some crazy Kayanos, things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I started working and buying. That's how I started. And because there was no internet, if you wanted something special, you had a mate that went, oh, I'm going to London, and here you go. Here's $300. Go to the sneaker store and buy me the most colorful,
whatever,
brightest Air Max you can, and bring it back. And he'd normally come back with, say, a pair of pumps or something.
Yeah.
And you'd be the only guy on the block, you know, pretty much in the state that have them.
Yeah.
Because no one ever seen them. And it just started from there. And for some reason, Woody found me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you how you ended up at Sneaker Freaker.
Okay, so this is a rough start of how Sneaker Freaker started.
Yeah.
Woody searched me out back when I think back then it was 90, when was it, 2000?
Okay. Yeah, 2002. It's right around. I think it was, but just before 02.
It was the early 2000s.
Yeah,
before that, you know, I knew maybe three or four guys.
Yeah.
I knew Peril.
Yeah.
I know he collected sneakers. I knew a couple other hip hop guys that I knew from going out that had sneaker collections.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Never really actually went to their house and had a look at what they got. We were just, every time when we went out, we talked about it. So I had a handful of sneaker guys that I knew, and when we saw each other, we talked sneakers. But that was it.
Yeah.
Back then, it was all, you never told anyone that.
No. Yeah.
And then I got a phone call out of nowhere, and there was this guy, Simon Wood. I'm like, who is this dude? He goes, oh, you know, Hans, I found out from some friends of friends that you got a sneaker collection. You know, I'm trying to do a fanzine.
He said
fanzine, I think, or something like that. He says, can I come to your house and meet you and have a look at what you got?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, I didn't think anything of it, you know. And one morning, I remember we went to a rave and we've been up all night.
Wait, Woody was at a rave?
I was.
Oh, I was going to say.
So we went to a rave and all night, and I totally forgot about my meeting with him on the Sunday morning. He said he'd come over in the morning, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. 8 o'clock in the morning, we just walk home straight from a rave, and he drives up in his Camaro, loud as shit on
Sounds
a Sunday
about right.
morning.
Yeah.
Rings the doorbell, and there's this dude, you know, comes in, he's all steezed out, he's got sick kicks on. He's looking at me, I've been up all night, my eyes are probably coming out of my head.
Yeah.
And I go, who are you? He goes, oh, I'm Woody, I'm here to have a look at your sneaker. We talked about this. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next couple of hours showed him stuff, and he had a mock-up of the magazine and things like that.
Oh, rad already, yeah.
And that's how it started. And then he went ahead, he started the domain,
yeah,
and then he started the forum.
Yeah, yeah, which I jumped on, I think, in about 02, 03.
Okay, so he started the forum, and then he said, hey, Hans, this is a new thing, forum, this is the community, we'll try and build it. And I think when we joined, there was half a dozen of us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's how we all met. That's how Sneaker Freaker community started
I think the first swap meet I went to was 6 or 7 at... Aldia?
It's next to Aldia on the corner.
Yeah,
I can't
remember
what it's called.
It was in the courtyard of a bar.
In the backyard.
Okay. Yeah, so like all these people who see pictures of like swap meets and shit now where there's like 20,000 people. This was like out the back of a courtyard.
The official swap meet was actually where the Toft is.
Yes. So I was definitely there.
Okay.
It was up the stairs.
It didn't look like a sneaker swap. It just looked like a sneaker warehouse sale.
Yes, I was definitely there.
Yeah.
So I was 100% there. I wanted to buy a pair of Bapes that day and I couldn't find any for less than like $300 and I rolled out.
But there were Bapes.
There were Bapes
there.
Were
Bapes.
Yeah, there were Bapes there. And I had to do a runner. I parked like so far away by accident because I didn't know where it was and I had to run. And I remember I got to basketball at halftime because I was late because I was at the swap meet. So I was definitely there.
I think that was around about when Provider just started or was starting.
Yeah.
And then I think Chris and Woody just said, why don't we do something?
Shit.
Let's try and do this swap meet. We managed to get the space because Toff wasn't built yet.
Yeah.
It was on top of Cookie. And we said, okay, let's do it. And hundreds of people turned up.
I was third in line.
Yeah.
I was dead set. So I got there like an hour early. I was like, oh man, surely it'll just be open, like whatever, because I knew I had basketball. And then I was standing in the staircase feeling like a retard. I'm like, no one in the world would line up for a sneaker.
I think that was the start of Melbourne / Australia realizing that we have enough people who are interested in sneakers. Not to disregard all the old collectors from back then, because there are.
Yeah.
It's just this is the first sort of surfacing of like, oh man, there's more people than we thought that went to the same shit.
I remember being at that too, and I walked around and I felt so out of place because I didn't know a single person there. Like,
I don't
legit
think anybody knew anyone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I legit didn't know a single person. I walked around the room like 5 times. I got like the confidence to ask like 2 people what the price of something was, and then I just dipped out and I didn't buy anything. And then the other one was in at the back of the bar. So yeah, those are the days, man. Like, I remember just standing in the staircase and people would just be like, walk up and they just stand next to me and they're like, swap me? And I'm like, yeah.
And I think the next one, because it was a lot smaller and a lot less public, I think the first one we had some guys who were selling shop stock.
Yeah, I
and
think you're
things
right.
like
I
that.
think you're right. Yeah.
And I think this from the second one, it started becoming its own thing.
I think I had a stall at the second one,
yeah,
and that's where I met Woody the first time. And I think it was roughly, if I remember correctly, the Yo MTV rap clothes around then, because I did a custom
for Mafia or something like that.
for
Was it
Memphis.
Memphis? Oh, for Memphis.
Yeah.
Those Pumas.
Yeah,
I remember
I think
those.
that was about then, and that was the table. And I wasn't even like, I
There
was
were
cut
those floral leopard print ones.
those, and yeah, there was a few. And then, yeah, I was doing the, and then people were asking me what the price was, and I wasn't even sure at that point. I was like,
You
I don't
just
know.
painted the shoe.
I'm just painting shoes for fun. And I think that's the first time I met Woody. And Woody, I don't know if he was like super keen on customs at the time, but I remember him picking him up, and he goes, "Did you hand paint these?" I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "The print's spot on." I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, he goes, "Did you have one of the shoes to work off?" I'm like, "Nah." And he goes, "All right." And just sort of nodded and walked off. I'm like, okay, that was it.
In the black book.
Yeah. I think I was sitting there with Astoria, Olin, and
Astoria.
yeah, him and Matt from Kicks 101, I
I've
think.
got a pair here who
Do
he
you? I've got
customized
one.
for me.
Oh, yeah?
Someone got him to customize some for my birthday.
Oh, right.
A pair of Air Force on mids.
There ain't many around anymore.
Really?
And the thing was about him, if you don't know who he is, online people, it's Astoria VIII, Astoria 8, was one of the, he's probably the reason I started customizing.
He's the first guy.
Yeah, so he said to me ages ago, like, he's legit the reason I started painting shoes. And his website crashed and he had no backup of any of his pictures. So pretty much everything he has does no longer exist. So I had like five or six pictures of stuff like his Altitude 13s and the Jordan 1s, and I had a few and mine. But yeah, he lost pretty much everything. It's pretty much all gone.
Yeah, I've lost a hard drive recently.
Oh no.
It's like 5 years down the drain of just,
Music?
I don't care about the music or anything else. It's the photos that I can't get back.
Yeah, that
And the
sucks.
Photos that I'm not on Facebook, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think people understand the burden of that anymore.
Yeah.
No, I got like a actually I can't talk about that hard drive, but I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
But yeah,
heartbreaking.
That's crazy. I totally forgot about that that event. I remember I tried to get like so many of my boys to go, and like no one would go. I was like, they're like, what the hell are you going to this like sneaker thing for? I'm like, you boys just don't get it.
Well, that's the same kind of the same as when Sneaker Freaker first came out, and went around. Woody gave us a couple boxes each. I think they were only 1,500 produced.
Yeah, there was, because they sell for like $100 or something, don't they?
I don't
like,
know, something like that, 150
80, 100
US.
Bucks. Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
oh.
If you can find them in condition.
Yeah.
And we went around, it was free, obviously.
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
Woody gave us a couple boxes to say, give to your mates, you know, and this and that.
Yeah.
And I remember going to a lot of friends, then they're going, what is this? I'm like, it's a magazine about sneakers.
Yeah.
And they laugh at me, like, to my face. And look at where it is now.
Yeah, I know, man. That's the thing. Like, and that's why like I don't want to ask you how many pairs of shoes you got, but I have so many, and people are blown away. It's like, well, I didn't just buy them in the last year.
No,
I've been doing
exactly.
this since I was 13.
Exactly.
I'm 29
it
now.
Didn't happen
like,
overnight.
Yeah, this is 16 years worth of shoes. Like,
it's accumulated. It used to be a lot more.
Yeah. Is this pretty much everything?
This is the least I've had in a long time.
Yeah.
In a very, very long time.
I still have to rent storage, but I've been reducing quite heavily.
I've not, like we discussed before, my heart breaks every time I pull an old pair of shoes out.
Yeah.
You know, whether they're used or not.
Yeah.
I reckon 10 years is pushing it.
Yep.
If you've had it for 10 years.
I went and got rid of a lot of my OG
and,
Jordans recently for that reason.
And my OCD just, it's not coping.
Yeah.
You know, I need things to be nice and schmick. And
Yeah.
Especially since I put so much heart and soul into it. I know I don't make them, but
no, I understand, man.
But
like,
you don't, you know, it doesn't just like you said, it doesn't just appear overnight.
There's some stuff here that's close too, because I'm like in my head, I'm like that Moray box. They're like 8 years old, like yeah. And I remember the first time I met Gentry, like one of the first things I said to him, I'm like, all right, straight up, just before I forget, like, what's the best way? And he goes to me, he goes like, what you
there's
gonna
no
do?
Way.
He goes, there's no way, but he goes, the best thing to do is to wear the shoe on like carpet for like an hour or two to break up the foam a little bit. And then he goes, and then like stash
Seal it.
Yeah. But he goes, like, there really is no way.
There really
to
is no.
Save
it
them.
Really depends on the conditions you live in as well.
Look at all those boat, like those old bait boxes, man.
Yeah, the only pairs I have.
Yeah.
I've never worn them. I've worn one or two of them.
I've got about eight pairs, and I think I've
one
worn
of them's
one.
Full suede, white suede. You
oh
know,
no
that
way! That's
going
to be
one?
Impossible to wear.
Full,
yeah.
I it gets dirty when I take it out.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's tough. It's like I had the same thing with the Ultramarine 180s.
Oh.
Like every time I even like put them on the ground,
everything,
they're ruined.
Even the
I'm
new
like,
EQTs
oh.
with the gray, the light gray color suede toe box,
yeah,
anything
yeah.
kind of like this.
Yeah,
it's,
get wrecked. I've got 95s on that have a similar problem, even though I dropped burger juice on them recently.
That's all right. I've managed to detach myself now from the emotional part of it.
It only happened to me recently.
I still, it's a very good feeling. I still love them as much.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they die, or if I lose them, or if I have to sell them, or if I trade them, it means not much to me.
Yeah. I gotta tell you before I forget too. I remember when you came into Smith Street when I was working there, and you had the Colette New Balances on. I don't think only two or three times in my life I wanted to roll someone for shoes. And that was like one of them. I think they only made like 1,500 of those. There wasn't many. And you're the only person I've ever seen wear them in real life. I think it's one of those shoes that you just don't see people wear.
That was a lucky find because at that time I'd just been in contact with Colette for some other random thing.
Through
a friend.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a personal thing and we were corresponding and that shoe happened to drop and so the hookup was there. It was like
nice
straight away.
Dead set. Like if they like, you know, there's like the mythical list of like if you could have like whatever, it'd be very close to like the top of my couple of shoes I'd want to pick up.
That shoe, considering how old it is and when it came out, it was still one of the really hard to get things.
Yeah.
And it still is. I've never seen more than three or four pairs.
I've seen a couple on eBay over like 10 years, but they've gone for dumb money. But yours is the only pair I've ever seen in real life.
They were really nice.
I'm on the hunt for Goonies Puma discs at the moment. If anyone listening to this knows where I can find a pair.
I saw your post.
You have no idea how bad I'm fiending for those.
Are you a mad Goonies fan?
I'm the biggest Goonies. I'm getting a Goonies tattoo soon. I'm such a Goonies fan. Like I have two tattoos. One's from Watchmen. One's from Willy Wonka. I'm 100% getting a Goonies tattoo. I'm obsessed with the Goonies. So
we watched it at the Astor the other day.
Oh, dude. I've seen it at the Astor as well.
Yeah, we watched it at the Astor.
So good.
It's good.
Double? Movie double?
We couldn't stay for the other one, but we watched Goonies.
Goonies is the best. I love it. Like,
It reminds me of when I was young. It reminds me of when I was really young, like 13.
For me, it's like the pinnacle movie of my childhood. Like, yeah, you could say the same about like Labyrinth and Dark Crystal and that sort of stuff, but it's my favorite adventure, like mystery kids movie ever. I think Super 8 is kind of close for kids now. Like, I really liked Super 8 and it had a lot of the same sort of
feeling. Yeah, Super 8 was pretty good.
Yeah, it's like sort of feeling, but like, you just can't take away how good the Goonies was. It had the slick shoes from Data. And then, like, it was, like, subtly racist as hell.
Yes.
And they do so much stuff in a PG movie that you cannot do now.
I think we loved it. It was huge in Southeast Asia, Goonies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because of Data.
Because of Data.
Because Data, everyone related.
Yeah.
And same with Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom when Short Round turned up. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, there's a champion in our race.
Oh, my God. Yeah, dude, the Goonies is the best. And, like, Goonies is one of those things I've, like, never made a shoe of because I've just been too scared. Like, I just can't touch it. But they did it. It's one of the best collabs I've ever seen. They did it so well. Dude, they got everything. They've got, like, the one-eyed Willy gold embossed on the insole. They've got the Goonies logo silhouette of them walking. They've got the uppers made of the map.
Yeah.
It comes in a Hessian bag because at the end...
yes, of course.
Yeah. The whole thing is just ridiculous. Like,
Are they limited?
Yeah, it was super hard to find. Even in 2009 when they came out, but... the threading is all like twine.
Yeah.
Like, it's just retarded. Like, so
would you wear them though?
No.
They'd sit on the shelf.
And I truthfully don't have anything that sits on the shelf anymore. Like, I wear everything now. Like,
yeah, mine's all worn and I'm trying to get rid of things that, you know, sometimes you open the box and you go, I want to wear these, but then you go,
I'm going to lose $1,000 today.
Yeah, so put them back and wear something else because you got heaps more.
Yeah, I run into that a lot, and that's what I cleared.
But like, I don't need that, right? You don't need that stuff.
I know, and that's the thing too. Like, I think
if they're not good enough to wear, or if you have to make a decision, then you probably don't need it.
And that's like, I remember when I first, when we would have bumped into each other the first couple of times when I was like raiding Paran. And like,
you would have been a little boy then, huh?
Yeah, I was like 16 to 18.
Wow.
Yeah. Jazz used to get shoes for me because I was at school on Fridays when the SBs released. So he picked me up like all my De La's and stuff. And then when I was 18, I used to go to Provider every Saturday morning. And then I'd walk up to Evolve and Sports Lords. And then it was funny. I can't tell you how many times in my life, like, I'd go to buy like military Jordan Blues and they'd be like, oh, Simon, Nate. and Hans got them all. Like, I can't tell you how many times I'd be like, hey, I'd go to provider and be like, hey, have you got a 9 in this? Or 10 in this? And they're like, nah. And I'm like, 9? They're like, Hans got the 9. And I'm like, fuck. Like, for years, you were like this phantom that just got there like half an hour before me and pinched everything I was after.
It's probably because we were there the night before.
That's exactly what it would have been. Like, it was. I was there first thing in the morning. Before, you were probably around the corner having a drink. Yeah. But yeah, those are the days.
Poker or something.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I have the same thing. Like, back then, I was buying everything. Like, you know, when you, like, you just go ham, and I was buying everything. Like, I was buying one or two pairs of shoes a week. And then now I look at them, and as you say, like, I'll open a box of Yeezy ones, and I'm like, to wear this twice is to throw $2,000 against the wall. Like, I don't know if I can justify that. Like,
yeah, it's a hard one, is it? Because people say, oh, but you should be doing it for the love of sneakers or whatever it is, do the right thing.
Yeah, but...
But at the end of the day, you know...
We're not financially irresponsible.
Exactly. It's the hobby costs money, so we got to find a way to I don't know, open, close brackets, justify it.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can make a quick buck, hey, all the best to you. I'm sure in the past, I've been angry with resellers and things and I've voiced my opinion, but the older I get and the more it goes on, it's just part of it now.
I'll have to... We'll have to do a separate podcast for resellers because I'm not a fan
of resellers.
No, I hate them.
But where do you draw the line, you know?
This is the problem. This is why I think we'd need like 40 minutes. Like, if we sell a pair of shoes that we bought honestly 10 years ago for $300 for $2,000, I don't really consider that reselling. But if a kid and like 6 of his mates line up out the front of Foot Locker for 12 hours and then an hour later have put shoes on Gumtree for double the price, like,
why
that's
not
reselling?
It's business.
Yeah, but that's stupid. Those kids earn $4 an hour when they break it down.
It doesn't matter. It's just something what they're doing as a crew, as a, you know. It's...
But could you imagine what would have happened? Like, if I was 20 and kids were doing that, like, there would have been trouble. Like, when we, like, I can't imagine we're starting out not being able to, like, when we started out, other than when you were there the night before playing poker, I pretty much got everything I wanted. Like,
it's come full circle. I've done things that I've said that I hate other people doing.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah,
you know, and I've come to the point where the older I get, the less I know, the more I kind of take a step back and think about the situation. Before I say, hey, you know, that's the wrong thing, or you shouldn't be doing it, or fuck you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, I sit there now and I go, hey, 10 years ago I could have walked into Evolve and got Uncle Dunk highs a week later. But now I'm sitting here going, well, the Oreo 4s are coming out this weekend. How the fuck am I going to get them? How am I going to get it? Because I don't hustle. I don't line up. I don't...
Me neither. No. And none of us did. None of us ever have. And I think we've realized now that if we can't hook it up, we don't want it so bad.
And this is the thing. This is the one I'm looking forward to this year. This is the one that's going to break. Nah, it's... The Mag is going to break everyone this year. People going for that is that people are going to break the rules. People are going to step over the carcasses of other people.
It's going to be a disappointment again. Like, not in terms of the shoe or whatever it is, but in terms of not being able to easily get a pair.
Have you heard the... Like, I've heard stuff I probably can't say. Yeah, I knew you probably would. I've heard stuff,
and we shouldn't be talking about it.
No, we won't.
Because...
Yeah.
I don't know 100%.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of things.
Also, don't want to get us in trouble.
Exactly. And once we get a bit more information and we have kind of half permission to do it, we'll let you know.
I think it's the safe way to do it. Yeah. It's the hard thing about a podcast too, because half my boys like sneaker like brands and stuff, and I'm like, oh, cut that one out.
Yeah, your secret's safe, mate. You're right.
No names. Now, the other thing I wanted to chat to you about was, like, people might not know, but I worked for Nike for a long time.
Yes.
Like, 7, 8, 9 years, something like that. I think it was close to 9 years. And I worked in a factory store, which was the biggest in Australasia, the Smith Street store. And it was well known. So, when I started working for Nike, they offered me a job at Nike Town, and I turned it down.
What year was this?
So, it would have been...
Mid-2000?
Very early 2000, so I reckon about 2004.
Who was working there at that time? Matt Jenkinson?
I think just after him. So
Just after. Okay. Yeah.
So like Gafe and all those guys were there. And
oh, Michael Gafer. Okay.
Yeah. So he was there. Yeah. I think he might have been there my first day.
And Trevor would have just moved to the office.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Chris had just opened Provider. So that does make sense because he'd left Nike Town. Yeah. So I about 2003, 2004, and I asked to go to the factory, and they're like, why? And I'm like, because I've been coming there for 10 years and I know cool shit comes to the factory store and I want to be there to sniper it. Like, that was why I worked there. So I have all these, like, insane stories of stuff that I got for mega cheap. And you tell me you never scored. I can't believe scored at the factory.
I've been in Melbourne since 94. That's 21 years now.
Yeah.
And of course, if you're a sneaker guy, you know the Melbourne, you know the Nike store on Smith Street.
Yeah.
Everyone goes to the Nike store. And everyone always finds cool shit at the Smith Street Nike store, except me. I have never, in the 21 years I've been in Melbourne, found anything that I would proudly post on Facebook.
You gotta be the only one.
You know what I mean? I've bought stuff from there before. I've bought the odd Amex or something that's half price and cheap. But I've never walked in, and considering I'm sample size, so every sample fits me. Yeah. I walk into the sample section hoping, because an hour ago, Brendan tells me, just cop 10 pairs and there's like 100 more. So I'm running to the sneaker store, but every time I go there, there's nothing for me.
I can't believe that. Like, no. I copped, like, for under $100, I got Mitter 95s, three pairs of the Para 95s, True Blue Jordan 3s, Jordan 17s with the briefcase, Silver Surfer 90s, Easter Egg Air Force 1s, like, Talarias, like
Talarias?
I got so many awesome Talarias.
Where
there.
Do you find Talarias from
the
there?
Smith Street Factory. There's Vejdoshkas I got there, the Z-Docs.
Shit at Camberwell. I remember going to Camberwell Market once.
Yeah.
One morning. And we found this pair of black Jordan 5s with the silver tongue.
Yeah, yeah.
The OG ones. And they were conditioned 9 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because this mom had went overseas, bought it for her kid, and the kid grew out of them within 2 months.
Oh, wow.
And never wore them again.
Yeah, yeah.
Cleaned out the cupboard, like, in 3 years, found them, bought them for $20.
Oh, my God.
Found Huaraches.
That's a kill story.
Huarache, basketball Huaraches, running Huaraches. Any sort of ACG cool.
Oh, love ACG stuff as well.
Airflows and things like that from Camberwell Market, but not once have I bought anything cool from the Smith Street store.
Which is funny because I worked at the Target opposite Camberwell Market when I was 13 till I worked at Nike, and I never copped a thing at the Camberwell Market.
Go. Maybe because you weren't looking.
Yeah, well, I used to go there and I used to get to work. Like, I was always pretty hungover, even though I was like 14 or 15 on a Sunday morning, and I would get to work 30, 40 minutes early and walk through the market.
That was a 90s thing. That was Camberwell Market was one of the biggest sources of, you wouldn't call it vintage back then because they weren't vintage, but like sort of retro running basketball stuff.
So I was just a bit late.
I think after that, after the whole sneaker thing exploded, people got a bit smart about their sneakers and didn't end up, at the market.
And the factory store dried up as well. Exactly. And I was like, that definitely happened the last couple of years that I worked there. It just dried up.
I mean, up to the year 2000, if you had 10 pairs of sneakers you needed to sell for than $5, where would you go?
Yeah, true, right?
You know what I mean?
There's like eBay,
there's no internet.
Yeah, yeah.
You'd have a garage sale, but people would come to garage sales and want things for $2.
Yeah, true.
So what would you do?
Yeah,
ask your friends, but what is your friend's network like?
Yeah, and maybe your friend wants them for $5, $10, right?
You can't even post a picture on a phone.
No.
And group message.
You couldn't even play Snake.
Nah. So, yeah. Things are good these days. I think it's important to evolve with things.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I've realized in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, whether things are different, things are always going to be different.
Yeah.
Or whether it's as not as good as it used to be, you kind of have to. If you still love it, you need to at least learn about the new things and trends and what the kids are into. You don't have to be into it.
Yeah.
You just got to know what's going on.
And I guess the byproduct of all this hype, I always say as well, is like, we have 100 times more choice now. Do you remember when
more than 100 times more
choice? Yeah, like when the penny like foam posit came out, there was the blue. Like, and then now there's like an infinite amount of colorways.
Camo, man. I never thought I'd see a camo.
Or a pink one. Or like one with cement one. Print. The cement
it's
print.
It's not just pink too. It's like a galaxy pink.
Yeah.
Like
you
look into it, it's like you're looking through the universe in pink. I've learned more in the last 5 years off the internet than I have in my entire schooling career, I think.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, probably. My entire career is self-taught too. I mean, I have a finance degree, so.
And things like, for example, how to boil an egg.
Yeah.
Before the internet, if you didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, you had to ring your mum.
Probably couldn't give a shit. I never learned because you're too embarrassed to ask. But now anyone can know within 2 minutes.
I was saying Google is like the number one most used addition, subtraction, and dictionary search engine.
Everyone just
does it straight into Google now.
Everything is Google. You can convert things for you. And it's bad because, a lot of stuff on the internet's rubbish.
Yeah.
But practical things make it makes life so much easier.
Google still can't find me Goonies Puma discs.
No, they'll turn up.
They'll turn up. So do you reckon that would be like some of your best pickup, like sneaker pickup memories, like Camberwell Market? That was the one.
Yeah, that was the early. That were the earliest days.
Yeah.
And then it became a routine of getting paid every fortnight.
Yeah.
And then going getting paid straight across. I used to work in a skate shop across from Foot Locker.
Oh, okay.
In the city across from Melbourne Central.
Which one?
It used to be called Sports Mix, and then it changed to SMC.
Yeah, that's what I remember. I remember that. I remember that place.
I remember getting a paycheck every 2 weeks and then run straight across the road to Foot Locker because Foot Locker just opened in Melbourne Central.
Yeah, yeah. I used to go to the basement in Maya too, down there.
That was that. But it was always that one first. And then look at the wall and then it would be a brand new pair of, I don't know what it was, Air Force One mids or Max 90s or something like that in a different color.
Yeah.
And then it just...
Back when you bought like infrareds and you couldn't just get them 12 months again later.
No. You just bought them because oh my God, infrareds, you know, and you just bought 2 or 3 pairs if you had the money.
Yeah.
And then eat noodles for the rest of the week.
Dude, that's what I did. So I was 13 and the day I turned 13, I got a job as a janitor in a bakery after school. And I used to go and clean a bakery for $10 an hour. And then on the weekends, I'd go and buy CDs and shoes. That's how I like got my money for shoes. But, yeah, fuck, that doesn't happen anymore.
I don't have really any fond memories of buying shoes.
I just got like a bunch of crazy stories, just stuff that I shouldn't have been able to get for a cheap price. Like,
you know, I've made some friends queue up overnight in the snow in London before to get shoes for me.
That's a good friend.
I've offered people money to buy shoes off their feet and then give them my shoes to wear home. What other crazy stuff? Nothing too extreme, you know.
Yeah,
I haven't killed anyone.
Just going and
I haven't threatened anyone.
Just getting stuff early so people like me would miss out when I used to go.
And I think the hookups come with just time.
Yeah, they right? No question, man. Like absolutely. I think that's why you and I probably don't have to line up for things anymore.
Well, most things anyway. Yeah, it's getting harder and harder these days.
Yeah, mags will have that won't happen for us. And like Yeezys and stuff, but most stuff
is okay. It's easy for me. I'm sample size.
So lucky.
A lot of guys are happy to go, "Hey, yeah, instead of giving you a fresh stock, fresh out of the stock, just take the samples."
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Definitely.
So I'm lucky that way.
One other thing I wanted to ask before we wrap this up was just because I don't get to talk to a lot of people that have been doing this for longer than me. A lot of brands have come back in the last couple of years because of like, you know, they'd gone under and then the resurgence of sneakers and stuff has brought all these brands back from the dead. So like Ewing, Troop, Etonic. Tons.
Yeah.
Was there any that you were like super pumped about? Because like for me, like Ewing's, like I used to love Patrick Ewing. So like as soon as the Ewing's came out and they did all the OG colors.
So I really got into sneakers in only just in the early mid 90s, like really knowing about it. Obviously I knew the Jordans and things
of course,
that.
Yeah.
Stuff I could get back in the day. But because I didn't grow up with the late 80s, early 90s hip hop movement.
Fair.
I never knew of the Troop.
Yeah.
Culture, you know, the Troop, the
Troop, is Troop?
It Troop?
Was it?
Is it Troop?
Yeah, it's Troop.
LL Cool J and Troop.
Yeah.
There was another. What's the other brand? I think they wore BKs and things like that.
Oh
as well.
Yeah, the British Knights. Yeah.
So there was a few. SPX was the other brand.
Yeah, that's
XPX,
right.
And so I never really knew. For me, it was a catch up thing.
Yeah.
And I really liked the look of shoes, and I thought it was a really cool.
Because you're one of the few people I know that I've seen wear those brands. So I'm like,
because there isn't a lot around.
No, definitely. Even now.
I think it was. It's been and done. I think it's a little bit old now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't big enough back in the day
to survive
another. Because this is not the second time it's coming out. It's like the third or fourth time they've tried to relaunch brands like Troop.
Yeah,
I think they're still trying to do it.
Still trying to push Troop.
They're sending us samples every now and then.
Yeah,
still.
They still happen. Yeah,
and it's still the same.
It's the same model.
They haven't done anything spectacular.
Yeah.
I know there is a fan base for things like that and a hardcore fan base at that. You know, I know collectors who've got Troop everything.
And
they go out and they pay big money for like vintage jackets, like matching
tracksuits.
Oh, track
the jackets suits. Were rad.
Whole thing, the whole caboodle.
So like Peril to Puma, like these guys to Troop.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I know personally a few of these guys, but I don't think a few of these guys will keep the company afloat. You know, there's not enough volume.
Yeah.
There's not enough people basically.
And that's the thing. I think people like me, like I'll buy one or two and then I'm done. Right. I'm not going to buy 20 pairs of Troop shoes. I'll get like a couple.
They brought back the old Airwalks and things like that.
Yeah, Airwalk came back too.
The Visions, and it was cool for a couple of months. And I think all the old school skateboarders just
like great. I get a couple.
Exactly. You know, I'll buy a pair or two, but still, it didn't warrant them bringing the brand back or launching.
Yeah, yeah.
that sort of side of their range.
Yeah.
Again, I think DC is trying to bring back some stuff they already have.
Yeah.
Already started to. And I'm a big skate shoe, you know, from back in the day. Like, I got big love for skate shoes.
Yeah. Used to kill me on the SBs at Evolve.
But I don't think there is enough. They'll make their money back if they revive it
as well. Now, well, I will finish on this. Looking at the Jordan boxes, is there anything you hope comes out this year? It's the 30th anniversary.
No, I hope no more shoes come out at all.
I know, dude. Seriously, you know what? It's funny.
I'm quite excited for the Oreos.
Yeah, that's the fours.
That's the one shoe for this year that I'm kind of looking forward to is the Oreos, and not because it's a sick color and everything, but because they changed that strap. It used to be a leather strap.
Yeah.
And now they put the plastic strap on, which makes me really excited. The only thing I'm disappointed about, the last three Jordan 4 retros.
Yeah. Oh, dude, don't even
super
start.
Super uncomfortable.
And cheap.
The quality is terrible. Yeah. Like, I still haven't broken in my cements. I've been wearing them for 6 months. They still hurt my feet.
Yeah.
You know, and Jordan 4s used to be the most... I used to wear them to skate. That's how comfortable they were. Yeah.
Dude, I tell you, even from like a custom standpoint, because I have them up in my face, like I snapped the wings on two pairs of military 4s, just folding them back a little bit. Not even like all the way, because I was hesitant. Like just a little bit.
And the original ones you can fold all the way back.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was just like, well, what the hell do I do now? You have to glue it and then repaint the whole thing. It was just a nightmare.
And that's the other thing that kind of, I don't know, you might say, oh, you know, to hell with this fucking old school collector or whatever it is. He's past his due by date. But for me, man, the shoe, the comfort of the shoe is so important.
100%.
Because at the end of the day, that's the number one reason why you fucking wear shoes.
And that's
comfortable.
And that's why our Air Command Forces are staying in the box.
No.
You've been rocking them?
Air Command Force.
I've been trying. Are they all right?
They're super comfortable, dude.
No.
They're more comfortable than the Air Revolution. They're more comfortable than a Jordan 4. They're more comfortable than a Jordan 5.
I haven't worn the new ones yet. I think put my foot in them.
Of all the high cut boots, that fits the shape of my foot like really good.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember how it feels like from back in the day. It felt like that. Maybe I'm a bit biased with the airbag and shit, but
yeah. And the pump.
That shoe killer, man. Like I props to that retro.
Oh dude, I was so pumped about that. Like I heard about it like 16 months in advance and I was like biting my tongue, and then when it finally dropped, I was so pumped.
I had to sell my other one. You know how they brought back that 180
without
the pump?
Yeah.
I couldn't wear that. That was too uncomfortable. It was so hard, it didn't bend.
Yeah.
And this shoe is bigger. I'm thinking, oh my God, you know, I gotta have it, but I don't really want to have to, you know, sell it again because I can't wear it.
Sure, yeah.
I put it on and it's great.
Yeah,
I love it. It's so, it's definitely worth it.
I'll break mine out next week, though.
Definitely worth it.
All right, well, thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. And I'll think of some more topics and we'll do it again soon.
What up?
Thank you, sir.
Peace out.